In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Someone told Jesus about the Galileans, whom Pilate's soldiers had killed while they were offering sacrifices. The Romans themselves would have found this to be in very bad taste, a bad omen. For the Romans were famously tolerant of all religions in the empire, and particularly of the Jews. Tiberius would have been furious at this kind of an offense, and that certainly made most of the Jews happy. It seems most likely that those who ask our Lord to comment upon this event were hoping for a rousing patriotic speech denouncing Rome and calling down God's wrath on Pilate. But Jesus will not play along. He pulls a rhetorical trick. He asks, "Do you suppose that the Galileans are worse sinners for what has happened to them?" And while they are agreeing with him, thinking, "Well, no, of course not, not at all. We expect they are martyrs, that they have suffered this great injustice, that they deserve vengeance, and Pilate must pay." While they are agreeing with him, shocked that he would dare to accuse them of their opposite emotion, to suggest that they are such theologians of glory and ready to defend the purity of the Galileans, he sinks it home, "Unless you repent, you will likewise perish." The Galileans were not worse sinners, but they were sinners. The wages of sin is death. We have no right to demand of God mercy or justice or freedom or life. And if these men were so outraged at what Pilate's soldiers had done, what did they think of God, who had pushed down the tower in Siloam? Would they call also for vengeance against him? There is more than one way to be a theologian of glory. It is not merely the arbitrary or greedy violence of men that threatens us. Nature itself is dangerous for sinful men. God is dangerous. All such tragedies and acts of violence are meant as warnings, as calls for pious men to recognize anew that the world is a dangerous place for mortal, sinful men, and that no man knows what the future holds, and that God's wrath is real. Do not be so vain as to think that you are above reproach, or that just because you stand today, you will stand tomorrow. Take heed, be warned, the devil is always watching. And he wages his war, for the most part, in the thoughts and ideas of men. Contrary to popular notion, ideas are more important than action. And that is why the world's chaplains are so worthless. A hurricane strikes decadent New Orleans, and everyone races to say that God had nothing to do with it. That whoever God is, whatever he is like, however he is feeling today, and whatever name he might be addressed as, he most certainly could never be angry. That would not be nice. They are quick to say that all men who die must go to heaven, because that's what good, decent, dead men do. They go to heaven. Especially those who die in unjust ways or by acts of violence. And that is the devil's doctrine. He catches more flies with his honey than God does with his vinegar. Not everyone who dies in unjust or violent ways is a martyr. Not every baby that is murdered in its mother's womb goes to heaven. God's anger is real, and it is dangerous. That does not mean that everyone who died in New Orleans went to hell. or that New Orleans contains worse sinners than the rest of America. Some of those who perished in New Orleans confessed the faith in a den of iniquity, and God used that very tragedy to bring them home, to bring them to the reward of Jesus Christ. And that is true also of some of those who died at Columbine or the World Trade Center or the Federal Building in Oklahoma City. But it is not true of all. And we are sore amiss if we do not recognize in these things a sign of God's wrath and a warning of the end to come. Unless you repent, you will likewise perish. This is the God who will not play along. He will not leave well enough alone. He interferes and intervenes in his creation. He gave his life, endured hell's punishment for you, for the God who sends hurricanes and pushes over towers, also endured death itself for you. He digs and prunes and fertilizes to this day. He is not done with you. He will not leave you to your own devices to go wild or to succumb to disease and parasites or to allow you to grow complacent. He warns you and he attends you. He pours out his blood for you and stakes you up with his constant forgiveness and his blessed word. We abide by his patience. He does not cut down the vine simply because it did not bear fruit. He tends it. He applies his mercy and his grace. May he teach us to number our days and keep us ever in this faith unto life everlasting. For he is not nice, but he is good. In Jesus' name, amen.